We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Andrew Brandt is the MMQB columnist, former Packers executive, and host of the Business of Sports podcast. Andrew, thanks for the time and welcome to the show.
Good to be with you guys. Hope you're doing well.
Andrew, so I'll get right after it. The Saints are projected to be almost $100 million over the salary cap next year. How do they get under the cap and still add to their team and try and improve their team?
Well, that's a tough call. I mean, we have to see what happens with the quarterback. I think everybody's kind of assuming now Drew Brees is going to go into the night and – there's going to be what's called, for people who don't know already, what's called a dead money charge of a significant amount, meaning there's going to be cap allocation to players that are no longer there. That's what dead money is, and Brees is going to have a big number. It's unfortunate that that's the way NFL economics works. It's not like trading a basketball player or a baseball player where the money goes away and there's nothing left behind, but through the magic of NFL proration, where you can take a signing bonus and chop it up over many years, you have to pay the piper at the end. And that's the result of players leaving before you thought they would, whether voluntary or involuntary. So they got to deal with it. I think I don't have their cap and haven't studied it, but you're going to see slashing and hacking and getting to that number, whatever it is. It's going to be below the year number now, 198, maybe 190, maybe 180 even. So every team's going to be going through it. But, you know, whoever you want to think about on the team that's a veteran with a big number that hasn't produced, you know, maybe to the level of his number, that person's at risk.
Andrew, I've looked at some different things, and you talk about maybe the players, and obviously this is something that the players and the NFLPA and the NFL has to come together. What's the thought process of maybe the NFL granting that the cap is not going to go lower? I mean, because the lowest we know it will go is 175. There's a thought process out there where they can spread this out maybe over the next 2 years, 3 years, however they want to look at it, and let's just say that they settle, they do go with 190, and you know, that cap, the rest of it as far as losses, they decided to spread it out. Is that something that you see them maybe leaning towards? I know, because the reason I'm saying it is some owners may not want to give the players, for lack of better terms, an interest-free loan in a sense. You know, they're going to want something back as far as the owners. And do you understand what I'm saying there?
I do. You know, I think what's going on is, you know, there was that mini CBA negotiated in July, basically allowing us to play through COVID. And as everyone knows, it was only 5 months after the 10-year CBA. So here we are. And what they said was, okay, we know it's going to be a haircut next year because there's no fans this year, a limited number of fans, smattering of fans. But don't take us down too low, and the minimum is going to be 175. I'm like you, and I think that it's probably better for everyone if they don't take it down too low, maybe as close as they can get to the 198, maybe even 190 or 192 this year. If they do that, however, they would be borrowing against the increases we all expect from the massive media deals ahead. And let me be clear, they are going to be massive because the only, and I stress only again, must-see programming on television is the NFL. There's nothing else. Zero. Maybe the Academy Awards. But the only programming that that networks have to have is NFL. So they'll be fine money-wise. The question is, are they going to borrow against the future? I've heard owners talk about, we want the players to take the pain with us this year because we took the pain, and why make us wait? Again, these are hard-line guys. Other owners will be more forgiving and say, yeah, the increases are going to be so great in 2024 and 2025. We'll only go down to 190 now, and we'll get our other $15 million back from the men. But, you know, you got to understand these guys. That's basically giving the players a loan. So correct. I don't know how forgiving they're going to be.
Correct. And I guess, Andrew, just to follow up right quick on that thought process, with more states, and this ties into it, we know gaming or gambling came into play.
Yeah.
You've seen more states open it up a little bit more. Do you see something happening with that before the new TV deal gets done, or is the NFL ready to kind of handle that as far as how do they get their portion of that piece of the pie that's out there?
Yeah, that's part of the CBA as well, the player sharing and gambling revenues. I frankly thought the players could have gotten a better handle on that than they did. There are gambling revenues that come out of the NFL and sports betting that's legalized. They're in season only. And there's a different split whether they're game day or during the week in season, and then the players do not get a share off season. So basically what that means, if you have a sports book open in MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, whatever comes out of it for the season related to the NFL, players are going to get a share of that. But from January through August, the way I read it, the players don't get a share. So that's a tough thing, but your general point is a good one. After 50 years of the NFL holding up the taboo sign on gambling, now they've embraced it, and they've had to because of the Supreme Court and state legislatures. So it's there, and there are going to be revenues attached to it, and that's going to be money for everyone. I think we're at a point where we're not squeamish about much anymore with sports and trying to get every nook and cranny of revenue. Gambling's there. I think liquor is something to come. And I think even tobacco is probably on the way for allowing advertising.
Andrew, you mentioned earlier about the owners want the players to take the feel the pain with them. Do you at all anticipate any kind of work stoppage if the players don't agree to that?
No. I mean, this is an 11, 12-year CBA, and they're locked in. We're way beyond that. Now, I will say this, as I know so well, because some people consulted me at the time in February and March, there are a lot of players not thrilled about the CBA, and it passed by the slimmest of margins. Now COVID has hit, and we've got a whole new landscape ahead. But once we sort of get back to it and the players realize, you know, we gave up a 17th game and we're only getting a point, you know, from 47 to 48% when we go to 17, and that's going to stay there for 9-10 years, that's going to cause some disappointment, disillusionment, but not to the point of a strike, no.
Andrew Brandt, MMQB columnist, former Packers executive, and he host of the Business of Sports podcast. Andrew, I'm curious to know, I'm sure you've thought about it, a protocol that the league has instituted, or maybe a couple of them that you like, that you feel like because of COVID-19, they instituted these protocols, but you like them and you like it to see them stick around. Do any jump to mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Injured stuff. You know, the guys going back and forth without being out for the season. I think the injury, you know, what COVID has focused on is we don't need to sort of say goodbye to players when they have a 6-week injury. We can bring them back. And we've always had that with one or two designated, but it's allowed for a lot freer movement. And combined with that, in a similar vein, is the practice squad. I think it. I never envisioned 10-year players. You know, the one just signed with the Packers, Tremont Williams, 16 years. I signed him 16 years ago. I never envisioned these guys signing in practice squads, but then you sit back and say, why not? You know, why not? Why should practice squads only be first-year players? If a guy still wants to play and he's older, why not? And then the freedom of movement between practice squad and your own squad and practice squad and another team just allows for a lot more opportunity. So I'm definitely down with that. I like the freedom of movement. I like the NFL not taking these rules as seriously as they always had. So that should stay.
Andrew, I know you're looking forward to Sunday when the Packers take on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In particular, you were part of that front office when Aaron Rodgers was drafted by the Packers, and he's still rolling and playing at an MVP level. I think their strategy, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, their strategy this offseason of drafting Jordan Love to make Aaron Rodgers a little mad and play at that level is paying off beautifully.
Yeah, it's been a sad week. I mean, listen, before the season, I made one bet. I walked into a sports book. You talk about sports betting, and I bet Aaron Rodgers for MVP. And it wasn't so much the Jordan Love. I just thought year two of the Matt LaFleur system, this guy won 13 games, not even playing great last year. So I think he's at the height of his powers. He's a man in full. And, you know, you mentioned this week we lost Ted Thompson. Ted was the GM when I was there. He was a very quiet guy, never, you know, had many words, but just an elite-level evaluator. And I've told this story many times, but that night in 2005, when we looked at that draft board, when our pick came up and our only choice, what we graded to be first-round players, was Aaron. And, you know, we had the most durable quarterback in the history of the sport. The last position we'd ever need would be quarterback. Our coaches were all against it. And Ted looked at me, looked at everyone, and said, what do we always say in scouting? You know, trust the board. And we took him. And I'll tell you this, guys, the Lambeau Field draft party below us, the booing, it shook our souls. You know, it literally shook our room, how much booing went on below us when we made that pick.
Wow.
And Brett called, and Brett's agent called, and no one was happy. You know, but look how it's worked out. It's just the patience of Ted was great there, and we mourn his loss this week.
Yeah, we're definitely thinking about you guys with Ted passing. And Andrew, I just have to ask this question. I know it's one that you've kind of watched as well, the hiring practices, particularly the last couple of cycles, and you look at some of the guys that have been hired, and you know, we know there's been some new rules being put in as far as by the NFL to try to increase, particularly the minority coaches that are involved. Just give us your overall thoughts on that, and just some of the things that the league can continue to do as far as diversity is concerned throughout, not only from the coaching standpoint, head coaches, but and from general managers as well.
Yeah, I wish I had the answer. I mean, I think what the NFL's trying to do this year is reward the teams that actually lose the minorities, as you've seen it. So if a minority coach like Robert Saleh goes to the Jets, the 49ers are rewarded for developing him. And that's one way they've chosen to do it, rather than, I guess, another way where they kind of rewarded the hiring, where that was floated last year. And as you remember, a lot of minorities said, I don't want to be thinking I'm hired because it gets them a draft pick. So they've gone the other way. I don't know how to make it happen, Deuce, because I just go back to what Bill Polian told me like 20 years ago. He's like, you know, the moment Tampa fired Tony Dungy, my decision was made. It took me 1 minute, and I hired Tony Dungy. And I bring up Gruden because Mark Davis, the moment John Gruden said, I'm willing to coach again, there was no choice.
Correct.
And what do you do, white or black? What do you do when an owner has that in mind? There's no way to fight that. And, you know, we're in this cycle and everybody's pointing to Bieniemy. And is it the the fact that Chiefs keep going and they can't interview him, people get nervous, people want to hire, want to get staffs going. I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to be a focus of a lot of discussion. Like, is it him? And no one's going to want to believe that. Is it the system? Why can't a guy like that get hired?
Andrew Brandt, MMQB columnist, former Packers executive, also host of the Business of Sports podcast. Andrew, how much should we believe that Deshaun Watson is truly unhappy down there in Houston? How legit is that? And is it at the point where it's fractured beyond repair?
Yeah, I wish I knew. I mean, I've been kind of the buzzkill because I know the cap so well, as I talked to you about earlier with Drew. You know, I just don't think they're going to do that. And one thing is the cap, obviously. You don't want $28, $29 million on your cap for a guy that you've given away. But the bigger reason is, of course, who he is. How are you going to get equal value for Deshaun Watson? I don't care how many picks, you know, unless you're trading for Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes. Like, well, how does that happen? You know, and I understand he's unhappy. But I also say it's January. You know, let's see how unhappy he is in March and June, et cetera. And I just sort of tell everyone to hold the phone on that one.
Andrew, thanks for the time.
Always a pleasure, guys.
All right, there
you
go.
Thank you, Andrew.
Andrew Brandt, MMQB columnist, former Packers executive, and a host of the Business of Sports podcast. Coming back to your calls at 504-260-1870. Deuce and Christian here on the Fans and the Pros on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.